battleship, quite close. Fire torpedo! Sorry.
You know, there's nothing like life on the ocean wave. This is nothing like life on the ocean wave. But this week on Scrap Heap, it's gonna be a blast.
We want the teams to blow each other out of the water by building, from this sea of scrap, a torpedo.
Our first bunch of bodgers to be are the chairmen. These guys are wheelchair wizards.
Hi, I'm Jared. I'm the captain of the chairmen. Myself and my two teammates, Gary and Ron, custom build and modify wheelchairs. I like working with Ron because he's great fun to work with and always having a laugh and joke.
See your point, yes.
Hi, my name's Ron and I'm one of the chairmen. Gerard makes a good team captain because he's a senior engineer. But Gary's really a computer genius. He has a lot of good ideas.
Gary wants to do some things very quickly, so as opposed to getting a screwdriver and finding the right size screws for the job, we pick up a piece of tape and tape the thing together.
I like to get the job done quickly, so I like sometimes tape things up, but that annoys Jared.
We'll make a good team because we work together well and we're coming from three different angles. It's going to be really interesting just taking on something you don't expect.
Just got to get on with it, get it built, knock it about, bash it about, tape it up if necessary. And that's what I'm really looking forward to.
Joining the chairman to provide top tips is Steve Takel, an underwater vehicle boffin at the MOD's new research company, Kinetic.
Flying in from the RAF are a trio of talented tornado technicians, the Top Guns.
My name's Baz, I'm a propulsion technician in the RAF and I'm the team captain for the Top Guns. The first team member is called Arthur, he's a colleague of mine, he's also in the RAF.
My name's Arthur, I'm an engine technician in the Royal Air Force. Well, Barry comes up with some very strange ideas. When he first mentions them, you think, this bloke's mad. But he plugs away and plugs away, and eventually they usually work. I'm the hands-on man. I'm the welder, the fabricator, the cutter. I really don't want to do an aeroplane.
The second team member is a friend called Rob, and he's a qualified airline pilot.
My name's Rob, I'm a pilot, and I'm in Top Guns.
Being a keen sailor as well as a pilot, I think I'm uniquely qualified to fly, drive, sail, or crash anything that we have to make on Scrap Heap Challenge. Barry will be a good team captain because he always comes up with a lot of very creative ideas and doesn't always approach things from the same angle.
I think we'll make a good Scrap Heap team because we've all spent our lives basically tinkering around with cars and anything mechanical.
Priming the Top Guns is expert David Jackson from BAE Systems. He runs Project Archerfish, a device that seeks and destroys underwater mines.
Battle stations, teams, battle stations. Chairman, are you ready?
Yes.
Top Guns, are you ready?
Yes.
Oh, good, because it's time to launch into action. Set your sights and take aim. Because your target today is to build a truly terrific torpedo.
Wow.
We'll provide each team with a battleship. Your task is to destroy your opponent's boat. Three direct hits and the battleship will sink along with all its crew.
OK, teams, don't get wet, get building. Kathy, please dong the donger.
Go!
As we are all hoping to survive tomorrow, the teams aren't allowed real explosives, but they do have to build a fully functional torpedo entirely from scrap.
First of all, I really want to try and get something.
looks like a torpedo.
Right? Good start, yeah.
We try and go for an electric drive, car batteries or something, and then we look for some kind of propulsion system, maybe. Got some motors here.
The chairman are planning to build a radio-controlled torpedo powered by a load of car batteries inside their hull. As radio waves don't work underwater, the aerial will have to sit in a funnel that breaks the surface. The batteries will run two motorised propellers either side of the hull. They'll drive their torpedo forward and steer it in the right direction. All those batteries will weigh a ton, so they'll have to work out how to stop it sinking. And as a finishing touch, they're planning to give it a scary shark's fin.
Yeah, speed might be essential if we come to the shootout.
Yeah, you want something that's going to be pretty fast.
Yeah.
Oh, one important thing is we want to have a really big kind of mouth drawn in here with teeth.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, because okay. That'll scare them, I think.
For us when we're working underwater.
The Top Guns have a very different idea in mind.
So we're going to do slightly different. We're going to do an inside-out torpedo.
Okay.
We're going to be some distance back here, we're standing on our raft. Okay, we're going to have our batteries back here. So we're going to send our power down the wire all the way to the torpedo. Okay, so as the torpedo runs out, it's going to pull a cable behind it.
They're planning a wire-operated torpedo. Their batteries will stay on dry land and will be attached to the torpedo by a great long electric cable. This will carry power to a motorised propeller at the stern and control some kind of rudder. When they fire their torpedo, they'll pay the cable out, but they'll need an awful lot of it to reach the target, and all that electricity and water could prove an interesting mix.
The most critical thing, without a doubt, is going to be the motor and fan assembly, so that's got to be your number one priority, guys, yeah?
So it's a race into the scrapyard, with both teams looking for car batteries, electric motors and torpedo casings. As a designer of made-to-measure wheelchairs, Ron's really up to speed on building deadly torpedoes from scrap.
But I don't think there's much else here.
Teammate Gary is having a crash course in vehicle control. Arthur's an RAF corporal whose day job is changing the spark plugs on tornadoes. He's got his buggy up to Mach 2 and has bagged lots of booty.
Got a mini chainsaw, any good?
Petrol chainsaw?
Unfortunately, yes.
Don't think the chainsaw's going to be any good.
Okay.
I'm not sure Ron has quite got the hang of this torpedo business.
Shark, nature's supreme killing machine. It reaches speeds of over 30 kilometres per hour. A mere collision with it breaks bones. Its bite has a power of almost half a ton. But is it really a vicious killer? What makes it jump? Where does it go at night? And how do you stay alive when you meet one? Discover the habits of the great predator. Shark Attack Day, Sunday the 28th of December from 3 p.m. on Discovery.
Incoming! Welcome back to Scrap Heap Challenge, where our two teams are building torpedoes.
The controlling system of some kind of mercury outboard motor.
The Top Guns are flying in perfect formation.
Is this any use to you, lads? Okay.
While the chairmen are still on the starting blocks.
Because we can. Baz is a sergeant in the RAF, but he's been promoted to Top Guns captain for the day. These boys are going to run this campaign on strictly military lines.
Tidy up this list smarten it up so that we can understand what's going on here.
That's a bit neat, guys. Wow.
Hi, Robert.
This is really efficient.
Well, yeah, we're just in the process of redrawing, tidying
are
it up
you?
A bit.
Right. So what's your basic plan then?
We're going to have a sort of a sealed pressure hull, and we're going to have a flooded motor on the back.
What, meaning that it's sort of exposed
it's
to
just
water?
Just exposed to all the water, yeah, rather than being in a sealed right. unit.
Arthur stops for no man in his relentless quest for scrap.
I don't think the car is going to be any good.
And we're moving most of the scrapyard in here.
Just keep coming. I can't believe how much has got in there.
We are building three torpedoes, are aren't we?
At long last, Ron has struck gold.
he's found a broken bit of tin ducting.
God, what's
so, Chairman? Is that going to be it?
It's a bit small for it, isn't it?
Oh, really? Sent them back out there?
Yeah.
This is a decoy, actually, isn't it?
Just hold it up over the top of the wall, and they'll think it's that long. So come to the board and talk me through your plans. You on a steep torpedo learning curve, or is this a...
Very, very steep. I've never built a torpedo before. I've seen them in films, but never built one.
Right. But so you're thinking kind of like big and pretty macho, I'd imagine, if you're
absolutely
working on the film
model. Absolutely, and why not?
These are two propellers.
Yeah, we've gone for two propellers on this design.
And what kind of motors are you going to be looking for?
Standard electric outboards, aren't they?
Electric outboards or motors with props that we can fit on. I mean, these are just going to be outboard motors from the main hull, but we'll just see what we can find.
Right. You've got to keep everything in here watertight, presumably.
Yeah, we're going to only have one hull penetration, though, which is going to be at the top here, that we should be able to seal just the one.
One hull penetration.
That's good, isn't it?
Yeah, very good.
Both teams need to find a tube for their torpedo hull and make it watertight. It'll also have to be neutrally buoyant so that it neither sinks nor floats. To be neutrally buoyant, the torpedo must weigh no more or less than the water it displaces. 1 litre of water weighs 1 kilo. So if the torpedo weighs 50 kilos, it must displace exactly 50 litres of water. Any less and it will break the surface. Any more and it will sink like a stone.
After Arthur's near miss, Rob has taken over at the controls of the Top Gun's buggy. After all, he is a qualified pilot. Hey, come on. Terrifying, isn't it?
That's my donga! They take no prisoners over here, good lord.
Copy.
The Top Guns already have everything all present and correct. Their torpedo plan is proceeding with perfect precision.
Somewhere out there are two motors and two propellers, but where out there are they?
The chairman is still short of a few torpedo ingredients, like motors, propellers, batteries. They've got a cracking bit of polystyrene, though.
You wanted polystyrene?
Yeah, that's good.
It's actually steel. I'm just really strong.
That huge, enormous piece of polystyrene, I think, might be their fin, which is about 15 times the size of their whole machine.
Right. It looked like a shark or a whale going
through the water. It's called Jaws.
Oh, is it already?
Psychological warfare is what they're working on. They're going to... Their big idea, and I'll say it quietly so the Top Guns don't hit, is to... draw teeth on the front of their torpedo.
I'm glad they're working that out, the important technical stuff first.
Well, I think that might be a thing to watch for with them, because actually they've found there's lots of potential torpedo bodies, but they haven't got, I don't think they've got any motors yet.
Right.
And they need two. Right. And I'm not sure they've got any batteries yet, and they also need two of them.
The Top Guns, I have to say, have more batteries, engines.
Yes. They've got so much stuff.
They're an efficient military team. They're like a unit. They just went out there and they just got everything immediately, so quickly, the whole place full of stuff.
Because they've got, I mean, I can see six propellers. I mean, they must have every battery on the scrap heap, I'd say.
Of batteries.
They've got everything over here.
They have got everything. The chairman, really, at the moment, they're going to have to sort of... Well, they could put a big rubber band down the middle and wind it up. I think that's about the best they're going to be able to do.
That'll do it.
Our teams are knocking up torpedoes out of fairy lights and an old toy plane. What will a Navy man make of it? To keep an eye on things is Commander Mike Finney. He's an ex-torpedo officer who's also captained his own submarine.
Yeah, thank you. I'll take a few.
Mike, the chairman don't have an enormous amount of stuff yet, and a bit of polystyrene and a tube. But I mean, what do you think of their design idea? Is it?
It's ambitious, Rob. What they're trying to do is put the batteries, the motors, the whole lot into the actual body itself.
No, I haven't heard how they intend to actually control it once it's.
I think it's a radio control idea. Right. Yeah, the chairman have actually found the remains of a radio controlled aeroplane. Which, of course, gives them the requirement to have an aerial above the surface of the water, because radio waves will not go through the water.
Ah, right.
So they've got to keep this aerial clear of the surface of the water the whole time that the weapon is actually running, which could be tricky.
Right. Yes.
Because, of course, if it goes under the water, they've lost control of the thing.
And then it could go anywhere. Yeah. It could hit them. Yeah.
But, it's not insurmountable.
No. What about the Top Gun team? What about they? I mean, they have so much equipment. And they seem to be they're working very...
They've brought the junkyard into their own workyard, haven't they? Yeah. And they're crunching over motors and goodness knows what and batteries. So they've got a surface of equipment there. Their design is simpler, a lot simpler. And I do like the idea of not putting the batteries inside the body itself.
Yeah.
But, you know, if I had £10 and was going to, you know, put it down at the moment, I'd put it on Top Gun.
You go with them, that's where your money is.
I would.
Ron's still scouring the heap for motors and batteries for the world's first radio-controlled torpedo.
How's the feeling in the camp? Is it, are you feeling despondent or are you feeling optimistic about it?
Yeah, I mean...
You're the optimist of the team, though, aren't you, anyway?
Is that so?
You've got a partying reputation, I've heard.
The rumours, they spread. I don't know.
Is it true? Let's get it out to everybody now. Well, you'll never be left alone.
Gerard and I built this really nice barbecue.
Right.
And every time we cook, like, jerk chicken, roast corn, roast plantains, potato salad.
Proper
salad.
Jamaican barbecue.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. Lots of rum.
Big bottle of rum.
Yeah.
The Top Guns are so far ahead, they've even started work on a top-secret directional guidance system for their torpedo.
These are the rudders here?
That's right, yep.
That's very clever. That's a very clever idea. So, wait a minute, this will go that way through the water?
Yeah, well, this is going to be at the stern of the torpedo, as far as I'm aware. And so, yeah, we're going to have...
And there'll be one of these on either side?
Yeah, good for that. Yeah, one on either side like that.
I see.
With a solenoid actuated by a solenoid inboard of it.
Right, isn't that clever? That's beautiful.
Like that.
The Top Guns have a dual rudder system to steer their deadly wire-driven warhead. They'll run power from the shore to two solenoids, simple switches to operate each rudder. The left solenoid will activate the left rudder, and the force of the water travelling over it will turn the torpedo to the right. Switch the right solenoid on, and the torpedo will turn to the left.
This is really neat, tidy, really quality engineering you're doing here. It's a bit disturbing.
Yeah, just sputtering us up there.
not quite as smooth and neat as your driving, I noticed earlier on.
Oh, superb, wasn't it?
I mean, because, you know, being a pilot, I would assume that sort of accuracy and sort of precision, especially landing.
I dinged your dong.
Yeah, no, well, not mine. It's Cathy's. She's quite upset.
I know.
She said someone knocked my dong over. And I don't know what she was talking about.
I asked if she was insured, but I don't think she is.
No, it's not covered.
Yeah,
it's not covered. It was specific. There was a dong exemption clause in the insurance policy.
Our team's home-knitted torpedoes are starting to take shape, but they're still a little way off the real thing. HMS Superb is a Royal Navy hunter-killer submarine which carries spearfish and tigerfish torpedoes with a range of over 30 nautical miles.
Oh, my God. It's a real one. How do you do, Robert?
How do you do? Hi. Chap, hi. Welcome to HMS Superb.
Thank you very much. God, this is the first time I've seen a real torpedo. It's a big fella, isn't it? It must be very heavy. I mean, it's going to be...
Close to about 1.5 tonne.
That's a bit bigger than the ones our teams are building, I think.
We've had a little bit more time and money to spend on it probably than your teams.
So it goes along these rails here and into this,
the torpedo tube. That's right. Yeah. At the moment, the weapon's in its storage position. What we'd do, the team down in the bomb shop here would load it across, push the weapon up the torpedo tube, prepare it for the command for firing.
And this is wire-guided as well, because one of our teams is making a wire-guided one.
Yes. Enables us then to guide this weapon wherever we want to in the water. Get it to the target area where hopefully it's going to go bang, like big bangs.
Time for a taste of the real thing.
Hostile submarine.
Watch stand 2, hostile submarine. Carry out proximity checks.
4,400 yards, happy with that.
Open, 3 and 4 tube bow caps.
Open 3 and 4 tube bow caps.
Select to fire 4 tube.
Select to fire 4 tube.
Fire 4 tube.
Stand by to fire. Fire.
Fire.
Teams, you have 5 hours remaining. 5 hours remaining, teams. Thank you.
Wheelchair-making wunderkinds, the chairman, have been struggling all day to get the bits for the world's first radio-controlled torpedo.
RAF boys, the Top Guns, are really flying. In a well-organised military manoeuvre, they're building a torpedo on a great big electric cable leash. They commandeered loads of scrap heap motors and props, but they only need one. Their torpedo propeller of choice is a car radiator fan, not renowned for optimum performance under 3 fathoms. But these boys service tornadoes for a living, so they're leaving nothing to chance. They're going to test it underwater.
Robert,
sorry.
Get your sleeves rolled up then, Dave.
Yeah, would you like to hold that in the water? How many fingers would you like to lose?
Yeah, I don't want to hold
anything
in the water.
It's important that I don't show bias by holding it.
By being electrocuted. Because these are air fans in their normal life, or they were. Yes.
Yeah, they're not really designed to turn their way through water.
Yeah. But... Well, at least it'll give it a wash. Our tank's gone all dirty now, Kat.
Ready?
Ready when you are. Oh, God.
That was excellent.
That worked.
That definitely worked. Yeah.
Right, ready when you are.
Ooh, that looks good.
Nice.
Very smooth.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
It's a runaway success.
Yeah, I'm happy with them. They're good.
Yeah.
After a disastrous start, the chairs have got one decent motor, and it works.
Certainly got speed control, haven't we?
Yeah.
But they're not quite back in the race yet.
You can use these, right? They're not very efficient, but you can use them. So what we could do is mount this off.
The wheelchair maker's wacky design plan required two powerful motorised propellers. What they have is the one powerful motor, bits and pieces from a model aeroplane, and the blades from an old office fan. Steve is an MOD research boffin, so he's used to rather more high-tech components. Get out of this one, Steve.
OK, at the moment, right, what we're talking about is maybe have a band that goes around there like this.
The chairman wanted two powerful motors mounted one on each side to drive and steer their torpedo. Now Steve reckons they could put their one good motor under their torpedo to give it forward thrust. Then to steer the thing, they'll put the office fan on one side and the toy aeroplane propeller on the other. They'll use radio control to turn each of them on and off to steer them left or right. It's completely balmy, but they might just pull it off.
The Top Guns rejected radio controls in favour of wire. They'll power and steer their torpedo via a great long electric flex. RAF Corporal Arthur has been on wire collection duty since roll call. Arthur's beginning to wonder if the top brass have got this wire thing properly thought out.
50 metres?
It's 150 feet, yeah.
Yeah, right, okay.
It's light.
That'll do for going from the battery to our control box.
Yeah.
It's got some...
The wire guidance system is the brainchild of their expert, Dave, who builds clever underwater gizmos in the real world.
Dave manages Project Archerfish for BAE Systems. It's not a torpedo. It's actually a device which locates and destroys underwater mines. This used to be done by expensive underwater vehicles with all the brains on board. But the Archerfish is wire-guided, locating the mines by sonar and feeding information back to the controls of the device onshore. That means all the expensive kit can be kept on dry land, so that when Archerfish reaches its target, it can simply be told to self-destruct, taking the enemy mine with it. The company refuses to reveal whether the top-secret Archerfish guidance system uses fairy lights.
The chairman have committed. You know, they've had goes with their design, they haven't managed to find the bits and pieces that are required for their design, so they've adapted, they've improvised, and now they come to committing themselves.
Yes, because they're actually doing the build now.
We're starting to put the build together.
Yeah. Now, they've got two engines steering them on the chairman's team now.
Yeah, two propellers on outriggers coming off the bottom of the torpedo body.
Yeah.
And I think they either drive one or you drive the other.
Right.
You know, to keep it going in the direction they want it. So it's quite a sort of complex situation.
It does seem... And they don't have the problem of dragging 300 tonnes of wire behind them, which is...
Meanwhile, the wire-making goes on with the top guns. Arthur has been making wire all afternoon.
Yeah.
Lots and lots of joints. I think they've actually cottoned on to the scale of how much wire they need. My money, I think it's still on top guns, but still no more than a fiver.
Right.
Poor old Arthur has been on extended wire splicing duty, but finally the end is in sight.
Hello.
All you've been doing all day is sorting out your wire. Watched you sitting there with your wire.
I should be in the Navy, take up knitting.
Well, you could have done a lot of knitting, couldn't you? So how long have you got then? Have you worked out how long that is?
There's 65 metres.
65 metres.
And what? 4 to 7 metres.
Oh, I see. So you've plenty. You've got plenty.
The torpedo will have to travel nearly 50 metres to its target and needs 5 separate control leads, making a weighty 250 metres of wire in all. They're going to attach floats to stop it dragging their torpedo down. And they have a power delivery dilemma. There'll be a voltage drop along all that wire to their motor. They reckon two batteries should provide enough juice to overcome the voltage loss. If not, they'll have to add more. But there's a big risk. If they send too many volts, their wussy fairy lights, wire and motor could simply burn out.
The gentlemen of the teams, you have 2 hours remaining. 2 hours remaining, thank you.
The wheelchair boys want to avoid getting that sinking feeling. So MOD boffin Steve is doing their buoyancy calculations.
So that's another 12 kilos.
And we made an error on our calculation of ballast. It's 84 kilos, roughly. 84, 85
far
kilos.
Far out, 93. No.
Both teams need a torpedo with neutral buoyancy, so it doesn't sink or float to the surface. But the chairmen always face the biggest buoyancy challenge because they're carrying their heavy batteries on board. Now, expert Steve is actually worried that their torpedo displaces so much water that it's too buoyant and may break the surface. He reckons they need to add ballast to get the weight just right. The chairmen have taped those heavy batteries to an even heavier chunk of iron to weigh their super buoyant torpedo down.
There we go. I can see you've worked very hard.
Okay, can we just...
You're going to slide that in?
Oh, yeah, that's okay.
Great. Shall I hold it upright?
Oh, yeah, please.
You've got to try and be skillful now. Yeah, no, one, double problem, two, no. Right. We have tips for this stuff?
No, that's okay.
And how many engines are you going to use? I can't quite...
We've got three. One to pull it forward, and two just to turn it one way and the other. And they're just over... Yeah, actually, Gary's working on that.
I'll go and have a look.
Gary.
I can't see any... Where is it? I can't see one engine at the moment. Oh, there's one. Right, is that your main one?
No, that's a little side fella.
And you've got another motor for the other side. C.
No.
So that's your...
Brilliant.
I mean, there's a very minor difference in weight.
I suppose beggars can't be choosers,
no.
Can they, really?
Just to the
layperson
that hasn't had an enormous experience of marine technology, there's quite a big difference visually between these two.
Absolutely.
But I'm sure, you know...
Having not had a lot of experience myself in marine technology, that looks like a huge difference.
I mean, if you were building a wheelchair, just for instance, with one wheel that size and one that size, you know, with an engine, you know...
It'd be a slightly bumpy ride.
It would be, wouldn't it? It'd be interesting, though. It'd be fun. I mean, I've never seen a propeller like that in water, but it'd be interesting. I mean, it'll do something.
Right.
The Top Guns have their buoyancy calculations done and dusted. And believe it or not, that water ski is actually a cunning solution to a potential problem they spotted at the start.
The Top Gun's single propeller would have a tendency to spin their tubular torpedo round in the water, rather than propelling it forward. The military minds have worked out that a water ski on top will act as a float to stabilise the craft and prevent it spinning round. Oh, and they also plan a keel at the bottom to do the same job. As you'd expect from these boys, it's belt and braces.
So what else have you got to do still?
Mount the motor up, get all the wiring in for the solenoids and the motor. Mm. We're going to bring all the wiring up this tube here.
Yep.
And obviously the wire's going to be floating on the surface, so it's going
and
to be...
And you're confident that it will float? resounding confident.
We've yet to attach flotation devices to the wire, but we're going to do that...
So you're going to have little buoys or something
along
its course?
Yeah, every metre or so we'll just have a bit of polystyrene or something just to keep it floating.
Oh, right, OK. Well, that's reassuring. You're very calm over here. I'm very impressed. Must be all that flying deadly planes.
Well, it must be, yeah.
Team, this is your 1 hour call. You have 1 hour remaining. 1 hour's construction time remaining, teams. Thank you. It looks like Weetabix, but it's actually a flotation system for the Top Gun's wire. With only an hour left, they've got an awful lot of wire to get floats on. Get to it, Corporal!
I love this time.
What an effort.
And I also think it's suddenly transformed from sort of a bit of old tube with a lump of metal in the bottom of it to... something that looks very sort of submarinery.
I admire the way they've actually brought this one through. I mean, the worst thing that happened with the chairman's device is they put it in the water and it just disappears.
Just sinks.
Yeah, and that would be very sad. So they're going to do it carefully.
Yes.
It's heavy, isn't it?
It's going to go straight to the bottom of the pool.
No, it's not.
I like the idea that if it works and if it's in the water and it goes along, there's nothing else to get in its way. You know, there's no bits of wire hanging out the back or anything else. It's completely autonomous.
And so it's sort of a far more covert approach than Top Guns, who is covert apart from the fact there's half a water ski.
Yes, and 300 miles of wire hanging out the back. But it does look very neat.
It does. They've done a very neat job. It looks a professional engineering job.
Yeah.
I have to say that
If they really put off the chairman, are going to come up with a good torpedo.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to switch my betting now. I'm going to go below the fiver, though.
And what are you, £2.50?
A couple of quid.
£2 on the chairman. Not bad.
We're all getting a bit desperate here.
The chairman are ready to get their torpedo motor on, but there's a last-minute crisis. The all-important engine mounting is wrongly aligned. The patient needs radical surgery, fast.
Get the Jeep clamp on there, sharpish. Stop. Right, now, washer. We need a spanner for this.
Right.
We need to do it up, so get a spanner, can you? No, too small.
Where's that one gone?
No, it's too big. Hey,
okay,
right,
okay.
Look at that. That's good. It's not going forward and back. It's not going hardly side to side. It's... Cheers, Ron. So near yet so far at the moment, isn't it?
The torpedo is back from the brink and the chairman breathe again.
It's just getting perilously close.
Teams, you have half an hour left. 30 minutes construction time remaining.
Easy.
30 minutes, teams.
Well,
thank you.
We've got all the bits on our material list now, anyway. We've got all the bits on everyone's material list, I think.
The Top Guns are confidently on course for early completion of their mission.
Do you want to test resistance? Or? Not really. I'm pretty happy that it's all wired up right.
They just have to run a quick check on their wiring.
Yeah. Well, you've told me the wrong wires then, because that's supposed to be the motor.
Oh, dear. The wiring isn't delivering power to the torpedo controls. Could wiring Corporal Arthur be in line for latrine duty?
Common
or is expert Dave in the firing line?
We'll have to disconnect it at the same room.
Tent spaces.
Wiring up tornadoes looks like a pushover compared to this job.
Take the spade off.
There's a very worried-looking cluster of people over here.
Oh, just a few small teething problems.
Few commissioning.
What's going on?
Difficulties?
Nothing is going on.
Really?
That's the problem.
I bet Arthur really loves the idea of going through that entire wiring system, checking every...
Oh, we know that's OK. We know getting it down at this end.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, so the problem is...
It's just right up here somewhere.
Yeah.
So, nothing new.
Yep. Is that the green one?
That's the motor as well. Or that one. Yeah,
positive.
That's minus there.
Oh, yeah, I want that one.
Oh, dear.
Oh, trouble in the Top Gun cam.
Very much trouble in the Top Gun cam.
I saw them clustering a bit.
It's actually kind of a relief to me to know that they are human enough to really worry sometimes, because they're definitely really worried.
Oh, really? What's happening?
Well, then they've basically got the powers not coming through to their torpedo. They've got some problem in the electrical circuitry, not in the 250 feet of cable, they absolutely assure me. But so they're going through checking each individual component. But then where all the wires cluster together and then join onto the rather beautifully made board with switches, it somehow all goes horribly wrong.
No, second circuit.
Open circuit.
For the wheelchair boys who are on the Top Gun's tail and closing fast. Their mismatched fans and props are all wired up, and they work.
Yeah.
No, that is amazing.
It's so utterly...
Because it's great that I like the steering fans. One's going... with, like, enormous power and force. The other one's going...
That'll fox the opposition.
It will. It'll throw them.
Just...
No, I'm not mocking it. I'm so impressed. It's done with bravery and pizzazz.
Permanently dirty now. I won't be able to get any dates for ever, actually.
Teams, you have 10 minutes. 10 minutes left. 10 minutes left, teams.
The chairman have so little left to do, they seem to be adding some artwork to their torpedo nose.
I'm not just touching it, yeah.
But time's running out, and those RAF boys still haven't got their torpedo rewired and ready for active duty.
Nothing.
Have you got them connected up? Struggling. You got yours the wrong way around, mate.
Oh, dear. Without working controls, it's not so much a torpedo as an airtight drainpipe decorated with bits of blue plastic and a water ski.
Oh, there's a spark there. Yeah, there's a spark, so we're getting volts.
Teams, this is your 1 minute warning. You have 1 minute left. 1 minute construction time left. You can do a lot in 1 minute.
We have got no choice.
Right.
Just a few final touches to the chairman's warhead. But can the Top Guns finish their rewiring in time?
10, 9,
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Down your tools, blow your ballast tanks, take a big long rest, and tomorrow we will test two truly tremendous torpedoes.
So who will win the underwater shootout? Can the Top Guns, with their hastily rewired torpedo, powered by a car radiator fan, hit the spot?
Or will the wheelchair maker's ludicrous-looking radio-controlled warhead, more gums than jaws, put the wind up the opposition?
The teams will take it in turns to fire their torpedoes at the opponent's battleship. To sink it, they need to hit it three times, once at the bow, once in the middle, and once at the stern. The first team to hit it three times will be the winner.
Now, in the event of both teams hitting two targets with their first two shots, then the third and final shot will be a simultaneous shootout.
The teams are allowed an hour's tinkering time to tweak their torpedoes. The chairmen have turned their wheelchair-making skills to rather more warlike effect to build a radio-controlled weapon. While aircraft technicians, the Top Guns, have built a wire-guided torpedo with controls ashore.
The chairman's warhead carries all its batteries on board, so they better have their buoyancy calculations right. Will it sink or swim?
Oh, it's bottom heavy.
That'll be sink, then.
Look out, try and be
you chaps are in the right place today.
In the water.
So what's the situation? Is it too light or too heavy or too what?
Well, we actually probably need about another litre of buoyancy in the back. We've got a bit too much at the front.
It looks like it's a bit up at the front, yeah.
Yeah, not quite enough at the back.
A couple of high-tech chunks of polystyrene do the trick.
You're just feeding it a bit of polystyrene.
When you get it critical, it'll just almost hover in the water.
Their somewhat mismatched motors are working underwater, but will it go round in circles during the competition?
The Top Gun's magnificent military campaign hit a late hitch with some dodgy wiring. But now it all seems to be in good order and their buoyancy looks spot on.
OK, I'll steer to the left.
OK.
But their steering is, well, non-existent. That rudder looks awfully small.
And it's going... Yeah.
Is that steering to the right?
That's supposed to be going left.
It's quite straight, isn't it?
It is quite straight, yeah.
And it's going straight.
It's turning, yeah, turning a little.
It's turning a little.
There's
little
turning visible to the naked eye, but Captain Baz tries to convince himself it's working.
That was actually... Once we got a bit of speed on there, that was actually starting to turn, wasn't it?
It's hard. It's difficult to see down here, but you can see it's not there.
I think Rob might be saying, rather subtly saying, well, actually, no, not really.
No, Rob, it was.
So what can you do about that?
We can increase the surface area of the rudder.
And presumably you've noticed activities on the other side of the lake over there.
Yeah.
The chairman's one looking...
They're looking okay, actually.
Not bad, is it?
Mm.
They seem to have some steering function as well.
As long as it only goes left.
Is it a tape?
Oh, that's okay.
The chairman aren't worrying about their steering. They're giving their torpedo a little facelift. Meet Jaws.
Hi.
Great stuff. Gary, that's brilliant.
They've got tremendous manoeuvrability.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is that most of the directional capability is by that one big one.
They could have done with one, couldn't they? It would have worked just as well.
Yeah.
Well, the Top Guns one is working very well as well in terms of buoyancy and staying upright and being at the right point of the water.
Right.
I'd say manoeuvrability isn't the strong point of that machine, is it?
No, I think they've got a bit of work to do there. And what's happened is that they're only actuating one rudder at a time. So one rudder is remaining right ahead, and the other one is moving.
And not moving, even moving a huge amount.
Not moving a huge amount, and therefore there's there's got to be a tendency for the vehicle to want to keep going straight on.
So where would your money be now, then, Mike?
It remains with the chairman.
It does.
Oh, yeah.
And has it increased?
It
went down to £2.50, I think. No,
£3.
£3?
You're a crazy, crazy guy.
Call me Mr. Reckless.
It never rains, but it pours. With just 20 minutes to their launch window, the Top Guns are going for a radical rebuild to give them a bigger rudder with more turning power, using a plastic tea tray. Mission accomplished. Time to give their missile an appropriately terrifying image.
Bring a couple of screwdrivers.
The teams are 150 feet apart, and there's a rock in the middle which they'll have to steer their torpedoes around.
It's time for battle to commence. Get those batteries wired up, Top Guns. Switch on the radio controls, Chairman. The moment of reckoning has come.
Okay, teams, are you ready?
Yes!
Jolly good. The Top Guns are going to fire first, and they will fire their torpedo when they hear my sophisticated air horn like this. Meep. Now, if your torpedo hits the side of the pool, the rock, Kathy, who's down there keeping an eye on things, or goes past a target, that will count as a missed turn. OK, teams, Top Gun, prepare to fire your torpedo. Me!
The steering adjustments seem to work, but it's not exactly Mach 3. Still, accuracy is what it's all about.
It's very quiet. Well, it's a stealth. It's stealth, you see. People would just think that was a floating reed coming towards them.
Seems to be slowing down a wee bit. Still making good progress.
Good. Yeah, no, it's all right. Yeah, no, it's still moving, isn't it? So it's a perfect strike amidships for the Top Guns. 1-0. OK, Chairman, are you ready?
Yes!
Launch your torpedo! Me.
Oh, now this should be good. You can see some power there.
No, it's moving. It is moving. I like the surging. That's very nice.
This thing is very maneuverable.
Bang in the middle for the chairman. It's one all. Top Gun, fire two. Meep. Now, I'd say that was going a bit slower at the start, isn't it?
Yes.
And do you think that's entirely because the batteries are just sort of...
They're running just with the 24 volts. They've got quite a voltage drop across the wire.
The length of all the wire.
And that's what 24 volts is giving them.
Yeah.
The Top Guns are worried. They know that if there's a draw, it'll be a shootout and speed will count.
Another deadly accurate strike for the Top Guns. 2-1 to the RAF.
So which one are you going to be going for on strike two?
The right one, which is the hardest to go.
Do you mean the bow or the stern?
Right, we're going to go for the stern.
Excellent. Well, good luck for round two.
Thank you.
I'll keep out of his way.
Chairman, fire two. Meep.
The chairman launched jaws on another killer attack. It's a near miss for jaws around the rock. But Jaws is manoeuvrable, fast, and deadly accurate.
Right.
He's steering like a dream and nearing his target.
The chairman's stern strike levels the score, so at 2-2, the competition becomes a torpedo shootout.
Two strikes apiece.
It's too close to call now.
It's speed as well as accuracy that will count now. Both teams must fire at the same time. First team to hit their opponents will be the winners.
I think Flipper stroke Jaws has the edge on speed, definitely.
Right.
But the Top
right.
Guns have got another battery. In fact, they've got another two batteries that they haven't wired up yet.
There's a bit of a debate going on, because Dave obviously wants to go with all four,
but Baz is slightly worried that that could...
Could that
blow the whole thing?
Well, it could do, but I think from what we've seen so far, that they ought to connect up every single battery they've got.
I might come and join you on the pool side for round three, actually.
I think it's not a bad idea, because it's going to be dangerous in there. There's going to be torpedoes flying around
everywhere.
At high
it's
speed.
It's going to be war in here.
Yeah.
The cautious Top Guns have decided to use just one extra battery. It'll speed up their torpedo, but will it be enough? The chairman know that to win, Jaws must avoid not only the Top Gun's torpedo, but all that wiring behind it.
OK, teams, this is a death match shoot-off. On my mark, fire your torpedoes. Are you both ready?
Yes!
Meep!
The Top Guns are faster than before, but is it fast enough? Jaws reaches the rock first.
It's going to be close.
And his beautiful steering averts a disaster. Jaws is ahead, but will he hit the target? And it's the killer blow.
It's bang on for the chairman. 3-2 and victory to the wheelchair wonders. The Top Guns are well and truly sunk.
Well done, chairman.
And it's a lap of honour for the chairman.
Hey.
Let's see that near miss in slow motion. The chairman's torpedo squeezes through the gap between the rock and the Top Gun's oncoming missile. It couldn't have been closer.
Chairman, there's no question. You won. You got your
deathmatch
shootout.
Do your worst.
Chairman, go through to the next round. Commiserations to an absolutely excellent, not exactly high speed, but excellent go by the Top Guns. Well done, guys. Really good. Really good. Oh!
Hey.
Next tonight, we're following the largest civil engineering project in history to build Hong Kong's airport on a platform created by levelling two islands. It's Extreme Engineering after the break.